Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to No Spin Rodeo. It's episode 98. We're sometime in February. I'm in Utah and there's no snow. And ironically, we have the new Miss Rodeo America. But let me start with welcome my most favorite person who has her royal red presidential jacket on. I guess you've been running across pastures. Good afternoon, Kendra. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
Well, we're going to get started. We have Miss Rodeo America 2026, our very first queen on this show. I mean, we've had some dudes that I would call queens, but our very first, like, formal queen on this show. Welcome, Olivia. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I didn't know I was the first queen, so what an honor.
You know I have a former queen in my family, right?
Yes, and she's one of my favorites. She helped me prepare for the Miss Rodeo America pageant, so thank you, Lisa Lucia.
Yeah, Lisa's one of our favorites.
I have a question for you up front, Tommy Joe, because I was doing just a lightning round with myself before we got on here, because I'm like, you know, ironically, for the girl who, like, never even wore mascara till she hit 50, I am friends and very, very fond of so many Miss Rodeo America's past, but I do have a question for you before I mention a few of them. Was Miss Rodeo America 1975 Connie Della Lucia from Utah? Is she related to you, Tommy Joe? Lucia.
Well, I don't think so, but my dad was on the road a long time. Not that I'm aware of.
I'll leave it at that. Okay. Before we start into this, can I just rattle off a few of these that, because it goes all the way back to 1973, Pam Martin from Nevada, as in Pam Minnick. And I'm like, I just started down. I'm just going to do it. 1978, Elma Beth Carroll. Has to be Truett Carroll's daughter, Dick's sister, as in aunt to NFR team rapper Shea Carroll. 1979, Debbie Johnston. Do you know who that is? That's Debbie Garrison.
Oh.
Married Walt, right? And a dear friend. 1982, Donna Keffler. Coors. 1983, Brenda Lee Bonagofsky.
I don't want Donna to send me a nasty text.
Why? Donna Keffler is notorious. I mean, why would she send you a nasty text?
Well, because if I said that she was that so long ago. Keep going. Keep rattling.
This is a matter of public record. Okay, 1983. Brenda Lee Bonagofsky. Do you know who she is?
Me?
Yes.
You know I don't know names and people.
Okay. Brenda Lee Bonagofsky went on to marry the 1984 world champion all-around cowboy Dee Pickett. So 1984, sorry to take you so far back, Skippy, but I love this stuff. Sandy Meyer.
Well, how old was I in 1984?
I didn't know her back then either. But anyway, she's now Sandy Brazil, as in Trevor's stepmom.
Really?
Okay. 1988, Kelly Dilka. She was my husband's cousin. She married NFR calf roper Daryl Lambert, who's a dear friend of mine. 1989, Chrissy Sparling, great friend of mine from Cal Poly. She was Miss Cal Poly Rodeo, too. Okay. 1990, Joni James. Joni, super sadly, this last year, we lost her young and suddenly to a very freak situation and sudden illness. But she married world champion steer wrestler Mike Smith. And Joni's mom was Miss Rodeo America in 1962. Karen Lavens.
I see a trend here, Olivia. We might have to ask you about it. I see a trend. Keep going.
Okay. 1995, Jennifer Douglas. Married Strand Smith. Now it's Jennifer Smith. I mean, super cool. Okay. I remember those two when they were dating. I have a vivid memory of them out in the Cal Palace parking lot. They were running to a, you know, they weren't married yet, but they were so cute and they're holding hands and being all proper because she was being chaperoned. Okay. 19.
Go ahead.
2008, Amy Wilson.
Oh.
And I just played pickleball with Amy Wilson. She came to my grandson's first birthday party. She and, Alicia Erickson, Miss Rodeo Canada. Awesome, fun. Okay, 2012, Shanae Shiner. She married Stetson Vest, and Stetson was in my son's wedding. And then the last one I'm going to mention, 2020 and 2021, Jordan Tierney, who married my son, Paul's daughter, world champion cowboy. That's Paul's daughter, Paul and Robin, who was Miss Rodeo South Dakota. But anyway, she's married to my son, Taylor. And so we both have immediate family members who were Miss Rodeo America. That's pretty cool.
But the most striking thing is 98% of them hooked up with a cowboy forever and ever. Right?
So, okay, Olivia, first question. Who you got? Who's on your radar? Or have you just done eliminations?
It all starts at the National Western.
Yes, the National Western. What a great time, Tommy. Should we go back yet?
I don't know. Well, so, but this is kind of cool because the Utah Days are 47 Rodeo, of course, is proud of Utah. And I had met you earlier, and you are a former Miss Rodeo Utah. And now you represent this great state with that cool crown we'll talk about later. But first off, congratulations. And I wanted to start it off because I think it's really cool. You've had your whole time, and I remember hearing it earlier, you kind of got a theme. I don't know how this works for you guys, but I love what you say. And I heard it at the National Western, and that is enjoy the ride. Is that correct?
Correct, yes. And give that's just something that... Okay, so that's personal to me and something that I came up with because a lot of queens in the past used to do a platform and you take it into your own hands of really how deep you want to dive into that and what you want to do with it. And at first I thought, okay, if I'm going to do a platform, it's got to have something with meaning because if you do that all year round, you should want to keep going with it. And so when I came up with Enjoy the Ride, I just took off with it. And for Miss Rodeo Utah, we did a merchandise line and stickers and things to promote the logo for it. But more so than that, it was something to connect me with the people I was meeting. And you meet so many people doing this, and not just rodeo fans, but also people at public and community events that have maybe never gone to a rodeo. So my inspiration with this was that I could encourage people to chase their dreams, just like I have, and to do something that they're really passionate about, no matter what that might be, even if it's not rodeo, if they like to dance or play sports or play a musical instrument, which is something that I wish I had the talent of. I think that's amazing. And so I think using the Enjoy the Ride was something to inspire others, but that's really inspired me to find out more talents that people have.
I have an Enjoy the Ride thing because did I hear that you enjoy riding dirt bikes?
I do, yes. Thank you to my dad. He's taught me to do that, and my brother. So we have a good time in the summer in Utah in the mountains, and it's something that I miss. Oh, I can't wait to go back and do that when this year's over.
But there's a little bit of difference in riding a dirt bike in Texas and riding a dirt bike in the mountains. I wouldn't ride a bicycle down a mountain. And you ride a dirt bike down a mountain for real?
You know, I do, but let's not really think that this is cooler than it is. I'm pretty cautious. I mean, I want to make sure that I can get home and ride my horse after, too. So we go on those trails and make sure it's something that I can handle.
Now, before we leave the enjoy the ride, my grandson sings this song, probably because my son sat in the truck going to school listening to a Chris LeDoux song that says something about sit tall in the saddle, hold your head up high. Any connection in that and your theme?
That's exactly where I got it from. I have that chorus of his lyrics on a poster in my room. So I was very familiar with that. And one day when I was still brainstorming and trying to think of something simple but impactful for my platform title, that song came on my shuffle. And I thought there's nothing better to use because it ties into the Western history and a PRCA world champion cowboy, but also something that's really easy to connect with.
You know what's weird? It's crazy. All of a sudden, it's been 50 years since Chris won the world. Isn't that wild? I mean,
50 years ago.
76.
And how long since we've lost him? Like, it just seems like yesterday he was performing at Cheyenne and I was there. Like, it's just crazy. Time.
Yeah. Pretty wild, but what a beautiful inspiration. The place that inspired all those songs is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, so, it is.
Yeah, and good.
What a great way to carry on his legacy, if that's something that I can help with. I remember going to the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame last year and that museum and seeing a lot of his old gear and different notes that he had written in the museum in the Hall of Fame. And I thought, wow, this is really cool to actually have a connection with that. It's something that's not very distant. I mean, that's just immersed in our world.
Did you pay to get in there? Because they need the money. So, sorry, that's a whole different podcast. Sorry.
What'd you say?
He has a mild case of Tourette's. Don't worry about him. Okay. So I am dying to ask this question about, because I never did hear. Right before we were all headed to Las Vegas, the EHV1 the virus broke out, and it was determined that Miss Rodeo America was, for the first time in history, as far as I know, going to determine horsemanship without horses. What did they do? How did that go?
They did the best they could with that situation. Like you said, it was right before we left for the finals. So how do you make a decision of what to do with less than a week before people start traveling to Las Vegas? And so they came up with the idea to submit a pattern virtually, which is one of the patterns which we would have had the opportunity to ride at the pageant. And so the good thing about that virtually was we could do it as many times as we wanted. And we got to pick what horse we would ride and then submit whatever pattern we were the most happy with. So that worked out really good. And then going to the pageant, we didn't know what exactly they would be doing with that video. But when we got there, we had an additional interview with the judges that we got 8 minutes to first commentate on the video, and they played that on a big screen for us to watch and talk to the judges about. And then they just asked us more hypothetical questions about, if this happened at a rodeo, what would you do? Because whoever wins Miss Rodeo America, it's likely that you'll have to think on your feet and be able to handle these situations, which, looking back on it now, I mean, some of the things they've asked me already, I've had to handle. And that interview was another time to connect with the judges, which has never happened. You never get 8 extra minutes to talk with the judges.
And in the past, everyone drew the horse that they rode, right? And in this case that it happened, you got to pick a horse. So was that like an advantage for people who had access to fancy reining horses and stuff, do you think, or not necessarily?
That was something that they were afraid of. So what they actually ended up doing was saying there would be no points for the video itself, and we would only be judged in the interview. So it was essentially just how you could talk about your ride and what you chose to talk about as it was playing. But that was also hard with the time of year because the weather was getting cold and some states didn't have access to indoor arenas because of EHB1. Places had shut down. So they said wherever you can ride, if it's a pasture out back, if it's somebody's mud puddle, I mean, get that video submitted because you've got to have something.
I gotcha. Well, I mean, there are plenty of times when you can tell a lot more about someone's horsemanship when they draw the, I hate to say dink, but every once in a while, in the course of your year this year, you do realize you're going to be thrown on horses that are like, they're false.
She drew a couple of dinks in Denver, trust me. And the only one, the only person we would put on the dinks was her. Frankly. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Well, I mean, when NFR flag horses dump world champions in the middle of the arena, you know, I'm assuming that you're going to run into that. So I guess it being a sport about it, I mean, even if you end up dumped, there's a lot to handle thinking on your feet or on your butt in the dirt or whatever, right? I mean, I don't know if you ever get put on a dangerous one, but I'm guessing it's bound to happen.
Yeah, I mean, considering how many times we ride and we are on unfamiliar horses, and a lot of the times it's horses that have been to a rodeo but maybe haven't done what we exactly need them to do. I remember looking for a horse last spring and my dad said, the reason it's so hard to find a rodeo queen horse, a horse that you can carry flags on and do parades and all these different things with, is because there's not a lot of them out there. I mean, there's just, when you have a good one, you don't sell them. And so to find one that's been experienced with that is tricky. And supplying horses at different rodeos for Miss Rodeo America, or different rodeos for Miss Rodeo America, can be tricky too, because we need one that will stand in the middle of the arena for the American flag and then turn right around and carry sponsor flags all night. And just, I mean, we need them to be perfect, but a lot of the times they're not. So having the horsemanship skills to be able to get by is something that's necessary.
Yeah, I feel like basically you need kind of the same qualities that the flagger needs, right? He can't have one jigging sideways and jumping out of his skin and all that kind of stuff when he's trying to flag. So anyway.
That's a good way to compare
it. That kind of leads into the next question. Would you say that queening, I learned that term, queening, is more about currently beauty or being a cowgirl?
Oh,
or both? Equal.
Toss it up. Yeah, I would say equal. Definitely equal, because in the pageant, we're judged on our horsemanship skills and our appearance. And the appearance comes from what we wear and how we present ourselves. But it's much more than that. When you get to the rodeo after you win at the pageant, you have a job to do. And you're someone that they've trusted and that's been hired to come and get the job done. So, I mean, if you can't cowgirl up, you're going to be in a lot of trouble the rest of the year when you've got that crown to represent.
I would love to talk a little bit about it. It's not just showing up and being pretty, but it's also, I feel like, I don't know, I've had countless young women walk up to me in my lifetime and be like, oh, you know, I want to do what you do. And I'm like, are you sure? Because I think they think it's like glamorous or something, but like they're not here for the all-nighters and, you know, whatever. But talk about the part of Miss Rodeo America that's really, it's not all just so glamorous, right? I mean, and it's not just, you know, waving to the crowd in a lap around the arena. I mean, you do things, talk about the other things that you do in that role. When you go to a rodeo, you do other things to help the committee, right?
Oh, definitely. A lot of the times we'll be invited to go to the production meetings and make sure that we're clear of what the schedule is going to be like at the rodeo. But before the rodeo, we go to different public events, luncheons, banquets, auctions, anything that we can do to help promote the rodeo and the other things that are going on at the same time. I mean, right now, stock show season, so we've had a lot of opportunity to go to the livestock sales and watch the kids when they're showing, and that's been really great. So it's something that does require long days, and if you're not up for the early mornings and the late nights, then you're in trouble, because there's so many places that are excited to have rodeo queens there to, one, serve and help at their events, but two, promote the rodeo. And it can be very tasking, but I even think getting to the rodeos, and this is for the cowboys who travel all year round and the rodeo personnel who are hauling stock and getting their equipment there to the rodeo. I mean, I go on the road by myself and I've got four suitcases to get around the airport, and people are looking at me like, wow, this girl, where's she going? She must pack heavy, but it's all the stuff I need for the 3 months I'll be on the road. So it's learning how to take care of yourself and accept help whenever you can get it, because there's a lot of times where the help is so appreciated.
So that leads to my question. You're a licensed cosmetologist, correct?
Correct, yes.
How early do you have to get up for your first appearance? Like, are you a 2-hour, like, remodel job, or what's your, like, what does it take to look like you in the morning?
You know, lucky for me, I have the cosmetology skills that I learned and was able to practice years ago, and I've been doing this for so long. I started when I was 8, and I've never taken a break, and every summer has been full of rodeo queen titles. And when I represented as the Utah High School Rodeo Queen in 2021, I traveled a lot by myself again. So I've been able to practice this and master it. It's something that I have a lot of tips and tricks to be able to get it done fast to save me some time, because you're right, some girls, it's 2 or 3 hours every day and that adds up. But I'd like to say that on average, I'm about 50 to an hour, 50 minutes to 1 hour. If I need to, I can be quicker. If I don't need to, maybe I'll take an hour and 30 minutes.
Wow. An hour and 30 minutes of your life putting your mask on. That just amazes me.
I'm not that committed. There's zero chance that I'm getting up and not early.
Envious of just the mascara, Kendra.
Isn't it funny that she thinks an hour is just killing it, right?
Yeah.
It takes me, I can take a shower in exactly 6 minutes and be clean, by the way. Anyway. All right. So I've got a lot of stuff going on in my background. That's my dog running around. That's my dog standing there with her little dog hoodie on.
I noticed that.
That's Phoebe. Yeah. She's 120 years old and still trucking. Okay. Sorry for the distraction. Okay. I'll wrap another question to you. Because we kind of touched on this. How, I would think it's an art to handle all the dudes that hit on you, right? I'm serious, because this is the kind of stuff I like to talk about.
How many
dudes hit on you in the course of one performance? Like,
you know, and I mean, it's hard to pinpoint a number, but also, like, what ages? It's not just the kids who are my age, and I mean,
sorry, that's prime. I love it. Yeah,
grandpa.
So, being able to steer away—that's something you have to be able to practice and do.
Are there actual, like, I'm sure that there are, like, rules and restrictions
for you? Like, does a chaperone go with you or no?
No, a lot of the times it's just me traveling. Sometimes when I get to the events, the rodeo who has booked me to come and be with them, they'll have somebody who is maybe my contact and chaperone, if you want to call it that, that will pick me up for events and get me to where I need to be. But as I've talked about, there's so many things that you do and your schedule's all over the place. You go from this to that. And so it's hard to have someone with you all the time, but it is fun to do that on my own and be able to really connect with the people that are there. But when I do get to travel with someone, I like that just as much because you do have a buddy with you, which is nice.
Okay, but there are rules, right? Like, you're not allowed to be married when you miss Rodeo America. And is there like a rule book that says you can't date people? Like, sorry to be so personal, but this has to be in the playbook, right? Is there a guideline for that?
It's a good question and one that is, it's very unclear. And a lot of people don't understand that, but yes, in the rule book, you cannot be married, but there is no point brought up that you may not have a boyfriend. If you do have a boyfriend, it does bring up that all relationships must be, let's see, how does it say it in the rule book? I mean, no public affection displayed. You can't, I mean, all relationships should be professional, essentially.
I think they should be in the real world also. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're trying to eat your pasta and you look over at the other table, it can be disgusting. But that's cool. So, but I, you know, given what you said, Kendra, which is really interesting to me, is how many queens' significant others are cowboys. And I don't mean to keep bringing, but I think that's a remarkable stat, yeah. Right? And so I'm sure you're going to meet some attractive, athletic. So it sounds like that you could, quote unquote, have a off the record relationship and not get in trouble. Fair?
Certainly.
Okay.
Yes.
This is, I feel like you're talking about a bucking horse breeding program. Hey, you can run into some athletic studs.
I'm not talking about hooking up. I said relationship. Kendra. Okay. She's never, there'll never be another queen besides her that comes on our show now because of me. Okay. All right. Well, what the. Kendra, your turn. Let me find another nasty question.
Okay, so I know, you know, you are being an ambassador for the entire sport is a big part of your job, you know? And so I don't know how often, but I can't imagine, you know, I know it's early in the year, it's just February, but surely over the years, if you've been doing this since you were 8 years old or being Miss Rodeo Utah, surely there come times when people approach you with either complaints or throwing some, you know, obviously if they have questions about, you know, how the animals are treated or whatever, like you're well versed with the facts on that, which are, you know, that's great. But do you find yourself, I can't imagine not, in positions where part of being an ambassador for the sport is having some sort of tough conversations of people who are either, you know, complaining about certain things within the industry or trying to get you to, you know, say something damaging or I don't know what it is, but do you ever find yourself in really hard conversations and having to handle that as, you know, in the public eye? And it's tricky, I would think.
It is tricky because it's oftentimes about the other people or events that are in our industry. Oh, did you see what they did at this rodeo or what so-and-so did or who's on this committee now? Or did you see the judges at this rodeo? So it's people that I'm automatically ready to stick up for because the people that I've been able to work with and get to know on the committees and at the events, you get to see exactly how much they care about this and that they're really doing it because they want to better the sport of rodeo and they're doing it for the contestants. So it's not all sunshine and rainbows. And there is a lot of things that come up that you do, you have to be prepared for it and think before you speak and understand what you want to say and how you can handle it. And maybe just not even getting into it because the arguments just aren't worth it. So say your piece and get out.
Sweet.
Well, I know everyone enjoys the new world of, you know, sometimes social media can be brutal. And I don't know if you ever have to deal with that in your area, but you know, it's what we've all found is I'm just blown away time and time again that people will say things about people they've never met. And I think it's very tricky. So that's a layer. The women I'm talking about, when Pam Martin was Miss Rodeo America in 1973, there were all sorts of landmines that you face today, be it social media or cell phones or whatever else, that was not a part of it back then. It was a much simpler time, really. But, you know, now, I mean, you know, hey, ask Rucker Steiner. You can't fly off a balcony and somebody just not rolling tape, right? I mean, it's, you know, in 2026, you can't do anything without, you know, somebody, you know, I don't know if you ever run in, jump in a horse trailer and pee, but God help me. If I was Miss Rodeo America, I'd be busted on that, you know. So anyway, you can't get away with anything these days.
And like you mentioned, people will say the craziest things online about the other fellow competitors or people in the sport that they've never met. I remember after the pageant, my mom had come across some comments and they had been posted on the Miss Rodeo America page on some pictures that were of me at the coronation, and my mom was just distraught. Oh, don't look at it. Don't. You can't bring yourself to look. It's just terrible. And I thought, first of all, I just want to know what they said, because if it's this terrible, then who's saying it? Do they even know who I was? But you give it some time, and the right people stick up for you, and sure enough, people did. They had my back and said, this girl's a cowgirl, and she's going to do a great job. So I appreciate the support I have, and it's really incredible that I'm able to reach so many people on social media. I look at the statistics and see how many people my posts are all reaching. And I just can't even fathom that hundreds of thousands of people know who I am. And that's because of rodeo and social media. The word really spreads quickly.
So about the pageant, I did a quick watch of the pageant. I think I'm going to give them a recommendation. When they put the crown on your head, they should give you a chair to sit in, because the squat down, like the wall squats for 15 seconds while they place the crown, it's not cool. They need to give you a stool, a crown of thorn, or, you know, anyway, I just
they
thought
could
that
make it really
very
cool. I mean, that thing could be bedazzled and really beautiful on stage. That's a great, great suggestion.
Yeah, crown of, like, you know, like they have on the movies, like this big giant. Anyway, but
I don't know if anyone's
ever
thought
sorry
of that.
The squat down thing for 20 seconds—that you got to have some calf muscles. You did good. You did
Thank
really
you.
Good.
Thank you. Really
good. All right,
I have a break.
Oh, go ahead. You go first. I'll go second because I've got a
tough. I just would love to take it back. Why did you want this job?
This is something that when I was little, it was a dream to be Miss Rodeo America. That seemed like the best thing ever. And those were superstars and role models to me, the girls who got to wear the crown. And then as I got older and really understood what the job required, it made me want it even more, because all the things that I have practiced and studied and done lead to this, and it's the perfect way to end my career. But like you said, the pageant was great, and that was an exciting moment to have the crown on my hat, but that's not where it ended. It's a whole year of being able to travel and meet more people that I've studied and that I've heard so much about and that I've just hoped that I could work with one day. And these experiences this year, they won't just end after I place the crown on the next hat, but it's experiences that I can take down the road and hopefully continue to work with rodeo committees after this and continue to support the sport of rodeo.
So, question for you. Mm-hmm. We read all this stuff about pageants, and you obviously started pageanting, queening, when you were 8. But you read all these stories about how, like, nasty it can be. And there's nothing worse than a young lady angry, right? And and subtle stuff, right? So just a quick question. I assume, and this can, and you can just say, look, I prefer not to comment. But I assume that in these pageants along the way, that you've run into some really mean, mean girls. Is that fair to say?
In my experience, I really haven't. And I think that my personality might keep me away from that because I feel that I can connect with people really quick. And if that connection's not there and I don't see that the intentions are pure, then I'll just avert and get out of the situation and just look out for myself in that way. And so all the girls that I've been able to compete with and get to know because of the pageant world have been great. And we had a big discussion at the Miss Rodeo America pageant. And I look back even now thinking about Miss Rodeo Utah, the very last day before coronation, we all go to dinner and everyone is sharing their most favorite thing about that week. And a lot of it has to do with sharing time with one another. And then at Miss Rodeo America, again, our very last meal together that we had, surrounded by the judges and different committee members, it was all about whoever takes this crown and continues the next year is going to have a tough year. Like I said, not all sunshine and rainbows. So they encouraged the other contestants. Now that I have the crown, they said, everybody support her. And that's exactly what I felt on stage when I had the crown on my hat and everybody came around to give me hugs and tell me how excited they were. It didn't just stop there. They weren't doing it to put on a show and to be excited for me on stage. Afterwards, I saw them throughout the finals and they were still so excited for me. And even yesterday, the girls have texted me and said, are you doing okay? When you come to my state, let me know what you need. So it goes far beyond the pageant. And there's mean people everywhere in the world. And sure, they're probably in the pageant world somewhere, but not in this group of girls.
It, you know, in the Miss Rodeo America pageant, I don't know if I will get this right at all. There is appearance or photogenic, right? Is that one of the categories?
Both.
And then,
they're separate.
And then there's horsemanship. Just yes. Separate. Okay. And just name the categories for us, I guess, if you would.
Sure. So appearance, photogenics, personality, test, public speaking, horsemanship. I could be missing one. But the best way okay. I heard this described was whoever wins the crown has won the average in rodeo terms. That's a great way to put it. Like the average of the national finals rodeo, whoever's the best over 10 days. Essentially, that's what you've got to look for as a rodeo queen, too.
Right. And the test, I have judged a few pageants. I've done portions of the Miss Rodeo America pageant, and I've done state queen contests in high school. And the test part, I will never forget asking one question. I thought, well, I'll just start kind of easy, you know. And it was back in Trevor Brazil's prime, and so I asked what she could tell me about Trevor Brazil. And she said, I'm pretty sure he's a shoot dogger. Swear to God. And I was just like, this poor thing, you know? But I, like, I don't know how really next level the questions get. Like, I'm assuming that when you guys are studying, I know that when I worked for the PRCA both times, the PRCA media guide that's not printed anymore these days, but it the pageant contestants carried that around like a Bible with, because it was packed full of information or whatever. And so what do you use to study, and how detailed are the questions? Like, are they trying to trip you up?
Yeah, it's hard. And when we took the test at Miss Rodeo America, it's worth 300 points of your whole overall score. And I remember this question specifically. It was, what is the NFR Open? Where is it held? And what are the dates? They wanted to know the dates of this rodeo. So here I am trying to track back. Okay, if I was at Ogden Pioneer Days on the 24th and I had this on the 22nd, what days were the NFR Open? So it's even things like that where, yeah, you've got to know the material, but back to even when it was held this year. And a lot of it, some people think that's wasted knowledge that you'll probably never really use. And I could disagree with that, because there's many questions about world champions and who is leading the standings now and different rules at the rodeo. A lot that are popular are the weight requirements of the steers and the cattle and even the bucking horses and bucking bulls, or it's how late can a cowboy enter the rodeo or turn out of a rodeo, and different fees. So it makes you very aware of what the cowboys are doing and the rules that they have in place, and makes you respect them more, because it's not easy for them either. They've got to know their stuff too.
Pretty detailed. So the test is it both written and verbal? Like,
so the
do they grill test you verbally to see?
Good question. The 300 points at Miss Rodeo America for the test award is strictly written. And we had a Scantron, and it was multiple choice and some true or false and fill in the blanks where you just had to know the answer yourself. But then we also have the interviews where it's your horsemanship interview and your personal interview, which that gets trickier because you have some knowledge points awarded and personality points. But there's not any, I guess, test material specifically in those. The judges get the say on if they think you got the answer or not there.
Well, and I think that it's just like college, right? You know, you take these tests and you're probably not gonna remember when you graduate the specifics of the test, but the fact that you engaged, right? You
yes.
truly engaged in the sport, I think is the key contributor for the reason that you need the 300 question Scantron test, to see that those people that really have dedicated some time and effort into understanding what it is we do, because what we do is very, very unique. Right.
I think so, too. That's exactly right. When I was studying, I knew that this would pay off, because it wasn't just if that's going to be on the test, but it gave me so much confidence in myself because I knew it and I had worked for it. And I do understand the sport, which helps a lot when you're going to events and trying to answer those difficult questions that come up.
You've competed in a lot of pageants. Have you competed in rodeo or any other sports?
Yes, other sports I started with when I was really young. My family didn't grow up rodeoing, and that was something that we just learned as we started when I was young. But I was also a cheerleader and basketball player, and I danced when I was really little. And then when I was 8, I competed in the Rodeo Queen pageants and Horse 4-H and a junior posse program that really got me involved in the speed events, which I was excited to run poles and barrels and stuff as a kid. And then in high school, when I started there, I was in the Utah High School Rodeo Association for 3 years and got to run barrels there too. But my passion has always been rodeo queening, and I think it's because I started so young and really got a good appreciation for what it is.
So you won the Desiree Larson Memorial Achievement Award.
Yes.
Is that photogenic, or does that mean you're the hottest of the hotties, or what is the Desiree Memorial Achievement Award?
This was really special. She's a past Miss Rodeo Utah and was on the Miss Rodeo America board for a long time, is a past Miss Rodeo America Hall of Fame inductee. And this award was for whoever sold the most raffle tickets before the pageant. And we were sent these raffle tickets to promote the sponsors who donate, and they would sell these to then also give the proceeds to the Scholarship Foundation and help with that. And I was determined to win this because it's a past Miss Rodeo Utah, and it's a great award to win and be able to support the sponsors who do so much for Miss Rodeo America. So I sold those tickets like crazy. I think that, if I remember correct, the second and third place were close in ticket sales. They were about $3,000, and my final ticket sale amount was $5,060. So the support I had in selling those tickets, it just was incredible. I sold them like crazy.
Did you sit out in front of Lowe's with a little bell?
Please donate to my cause.
What about the cost of the Rodeo Queen game? Because I can't imagine that you wear the same thing over and over like I do. And what about the cost of the clothes and the chaps and all the things? Is it expensive to do that?
It is expensive. And there's a lot of great designers who are, I mean, as good as designers as the people who sew for country music artists and different superstars on Broadway. But there's ways to get around that and to save some money. However, I think it's something that if you're committed to this and you're willing to do it, you'll save your money and save all those pennies so that you can get the designer dress that you've always wanted. And I'm grateful that I've had support from sponsors to help me with the clothes and my parents. I can't get into the details too much because we've never told my dad the amount we spend. So I think he'd be shocked to hear. But you know, it's something that you feel like $1 million, you look good, feel good, ride good. And the designers
Is there any sort of a recycling program? Like, are there any recycling programs for, like, at the end of your reign and you have 82 pair of boots? Is there a recycling program to, like, give it back
everybody
to?
Everybody wants a size 7 double E, Kendra. Do they just have to squeeze it?
There must be something.
There is
it's a weird question. Closet clean out. Nobody ever sees me do a closet clean out because I wear them because they have holes in them. Oh, yeah, that's in fashion now. Oh, okay. That's a fair question, mister.
It is.
Because these people, I'm guessing, how many pair of boots do you have?
Too many to count. A closet full of them.
These Kendra, really, the crown and they hand the crown down. It is recycled.
My boots have had the tops chewed off of them by puppies who died of old age 10 or 20 years ago. That's true.
We promised Olivia that we would only go 45 because imagine this, she's got another appearance. It never ends. So we've got to wrap it up. But I do want one final question from me, and then Kendra can have one final question, and then we'll wrap it up. All this work, all this effort since you were 8 years old, what do you get out of it? Like, what do you get? Don't you get a scholarship? Tell us, like, when you finish this, besides the experience and probably a world champion as a husband, what else do you get?
We should have started with this question because I could go on and on. But you're right. There is a lot of scholarship money involved with the pageant, and we are lucky to have that. I was awarded $23,000 in scholarship money that I'll be able to take back with me and finish my bachelor's degree at Weber State University in communications, focusing on public relations and advertising. So setting me up with a really good education and getting started on a great career. But yeah, hopefully I can continue in the Western industry and keep working with rodeo committees and volunteering on those aspects. But I'd love to stay connected with a career in the Western industry. There's so many great companies to work for and so many that I've been able to meet and get to see what they really do every day. I toured with Montana Silversmith at the beginning of the year, and I went to Columbus, Montana to work with them. And I said, well, gosh, I didn't think I wanted to move to Montana after this year, but I might just have to so I could work with you guys. So it's just opened my eyes to a lot of opportunity.
What is your advice to others with this dream now that you know like what it takes? I mean, are there things you'd say, don't sweat that, it doesn't really matter, but this is really important. For those who would love to be where you are right now, what would you say?
I would tell them to take it serious because it is a job, and the pageant was a week-long job interview that incorporates a lot of talent and skill. But don't skip the steps that you need to take to get there. I mean, get to know who you are and what your values are and what you really stand for. I think that's the foundation of all of this because, yes, you're representing the PRCA and Miss Rodeo America, but you're also representing yourself when you travel places, and the reputation you want to have will stick with you for a long time. And so I would say that, take it serious and commit to it.
Well, I'm going to end the episode with reading this Chris Ledoux, because let me first say, I am, on behalf of the Utah Days of 47 Rodeo, we couldn't be more proud of this. The fact that you're real, you're organic, you're you. And to me, that is a true, true quality of a representative of an entire industry. So congratulations and continue being you. So I'm going to read this in case you're out there and you're 8 years old and you're learning how to put on makeup, or actually for a 56-year-old guy like me, this little line means something. And this is what Olivia is packing with her this year. Sit tall in the saddle, hold your head up high, keep your eyes fixed where the trail meets the sky, and live like you ain't afraid to die, and don't be scared. Enjoy your ride. Olivia, thank you for joining us on No Spin Rodeo. We hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have. God bless you. Continue to represent the sport well. Get off to your next interview. You've got like 3 minutes to get out the door. Thank you for attending. Thank you for listening to No Spin Rodeo. God bless you all. We'll see you next time.